don't know who Bible this is. This is our last men's meeting for the year, and we're just so encouraged by you guys that could make it out and fellowship with us once again. And we look forward to next year and all that the Lord is going to do for us going into the new year. Well, I think I know just about everybody. If not, first let me introduce myself. I'm Quentin Taylor. I've been a member here at Berean for 3 years. As you guys probably heard, I work with the men's ministry team. And tonight we're covering the topic of work. So I figured I'd tell you about what I do for work to start us off. By profession, I'm a truck driver by trade. I drive locally. For the most part, I service the Ann Arbor and Dexter area is my service area. A lot of people ask me, what kind of stuff do I deliver? And just to answer that quite honestly is some of everything. You know, you'd be surprised of what you see on the truck. And so anything that will probably come up to your head, I've probably seen it on the back of that trailer. The beautiful thing that I do enjoy about my job is that I get to go to a lot of different places. I get to see a lot of different businesses. I get to meet a lot of people. I get to hear all the good things that people enjoy about their jobs, and I get to hear a lot of the bad things that people say about their jobs. So when I started this lesson and started digging in, this lesson really challenged me to think more deeply about my work, about its purpose, and it encouraged me to look at it differently and to be more God glorifying in it. So I pray that what I share with you guys tonight, that it would do something for you guys as well, as far as wherever you are and as far as what you do for your job. I think it should be something that might encourage you tonight. So that's my prayer. In our society, for the most part, people dread work. We live in a society that lives for the weekend, that lives for the next vacation. We've even named Wednesday the middle day of the week, hump day, to signify one has gotten over the hump and is one step closer to the weekend. Many believe that the highest accomplishment one can have is reaching retirement. Where some believe that it's all about moving down to Florida and playing golf all day, every day. We look forward to this time of not working. Even in the church, some have adopted society's view of work. We as believers have learned to separate the secular from the sacred. Therefore, we can view work the way society does. We think that our professional work, we'll say outside the church work, is not something spiritual or that something that we should look at spiritual. But I would like to propose to you guys that there is no difference. I would like to tell you that God has called us to something greater, that God has much to say about our work, whether in the church or outside these four walls. I believe through scripture, God speaks to all areas of our lives. I believe that God has not left us without answers concerning our work. I believe in all areas of life and godliness, God has given us the blueprint on how we're to live. And in fact, in 2 Timothy 2, 3:16 and 17, it says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Every good work. We have all we need in his word. If God cares about us being complete, and he cares about us being equipped for every good work, then Christians, we must believe that God should care about the part of our life where we spend 40 to 60 hours every week. With that said, along with what the scriptures have to say. Many gifted men have written on this subject. We've been using the book Disciplines of a Godly Man by Kent Hughes. I use that along with some other resources apart from scripture. But the ideas that these men that wrote on the subject use are biblical concepts. And this is what we want. We want a biblical view of work. And what better place to start than the Bible? Now, we won't be able to cover all what the Bible has to say about the work in our time together. But I do want to hit on 3 points about work. And the first point is God is a worker and he created us to be workers. Number 2, sin has distorted our view of work and it affects how we work. And number 3, our work is worship. Work should glorify God. All right. So point 1, God is a worker. God created us to be workers. First, we must understand that work does not begin with us. Work actually begins with God. And why do I say that work begins with God? And why did I say that God is a worker? Because in the very first book of the Bible, in Genesis, we see God working in creation. In fact, in Genesis 1 and 2 shows us this. The very first verse of the Bible says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." We see here God creating. God is making something. God is working. Throughout Genesis, we see God working, but not only in Genesis, but throughout the whole scripture, God continues to work. In creation, God is making all kinds of things, from the birds of the air to the fish of the sea to the animals on land to mankind. God has been working from the beginning, even until now. Remember Jesus in John 5:17, he says, when he's speaking to the Pharisees who are upset because he worked a miracle on the Sabbath, and he tells them in the 17th verse of John 5, he says, "My Father is working until now, and I am working." So God is continuing to work. We see God the Father is continuing to work. We see Jesus the Son says that he works. Jesus said in John 4:34, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." John 9:4, he says, "We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work." We see also in the creation account, the Holy Spirit's work. The Genesis 1 tells us that he was moving over the face of the waters during creation. In John 1, speaking of Jesus, it says all things were made by him. And Colossians tells us that he holds all things together. So we see all three members of the Trinity working. Our triune God is a worker. And I think this should help us to see that legitimate work carries with it a sense of dignity because our Creator is a worker. In the creation account, we see God working. And at the end of the chapter 1, he says in verse 31, "And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And there were evening and morning the sixth day." God was pleased with his work. Work is something good. Remember, God working, all of this happened prior to the fall. This is something that was pre-fall. This is before mankind sinned. God says his work was not only good, but it was very good. Then we move over into Genesis chapter 2. And in the beginning of Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So after God created this beautiful creation, finishing his work, the Bible says he rested from all his work. Now, this shows us a couple more things about God and working. Not only is he pleased with his work, God finishes his work, and he also rests from his work. Thinking about God and him finishing his work, you know, I think about all the projects I start at home.
and I don't complete. You know, I have good intentions of completing them, but I don't get around to them. And my wife can definitely vouch for that. And maybe you guys can agree with me. You guys probably experienced that before. But seeing God have a plan and finish his work, this should motivate us, encourage us to want to finish our work, right? Our God is a finisher. He starts something and he finishes it. He also rests from his work, the verse tells us. Now, we should all appreciate this, because God rests from his work so we can rest from ours. This helps us to see that God does not want us to work continuously. He wants us to work well, and then we rest from our labor. God in Exodus actually commands the people of God to work 6 days and to rest on the seventh. Now, this command is something somewhat debated in the New Covenant of its significance to us. But I think we all can agree that it is a wise thing to rest from our work, right? In this way, we rightly imitate God himself. And just as God enjoyed the fruits of his labor, so should we. Now, speaking to us imitating God, in Genesis 1:26, it says that we are made in the image of God. Thinking about that helps me see that we should be like him, that the way we work will reveal how much the image of God we have allowed to grow in us. There's immense dignity in us working and in us being workers. God knows we know that God wants us to be workers because of what he does next in creation. After he created Adam, we see he gave man his first job. He put Adam in the garden to take care of it. Genesis 2:15 tells us. Again, this job that he gave Adam was something that happened prior to the fall. This is something that happened before the fall. This is not a result of sin. So this tells us that this was something that happened before sin, before imperfection. We see that this gift from God was something good. Despite what some modern thinking that work is something evil or that it's something dehumanizing, clearly we see God gifting man with work shows us that work is not a result of the curse, but rather something God gave us prior, and we ought to be proud of it. But when this biblical view of work is lost, all the wrong ideas about work come in. Some even believing it to be punishment, that work is something that God punished us with, or something bad. But why do many believe work to be something negative? That moves me to my next point, that sin has distorted our view of work, and it affects how we work. First, we've seen God as a worker, and that he created us in his image, making us workers. He gave man his first job, and that work is good. But then man falls into sin. Genesis 3, the latter half of 17 through 19 says, "Cursed is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return." Now, because of sin, work just got harder. Now in our work, we have to fight against the curse, and because of sin, there are many dangers we can fall into. I just want to hit on a couple, and one being laziness. A person that hates work or refuses to work, and the other is a workaholic, one who worships his job, either constantly complaining or constantly boasting in our accomplishments, either envying another's profession or looking down on another's work. Speaking about laziness, some people respond to difficulty of working by disengaging from it or removing themselves from it completely. They have little ambition. They show little or no passion for serving others. or making things that are good or doing things that are helpful. Instead, they gear their lives toward leisure. The purpose of work, they say, is to pay for rest and play. Perhaps investing in work frightens them because they expect failure or shame. Even on the job, their minds are always someplace else, daydreaming about what they would do after work or what they'd rather be doing than working. But we know that the Bible is very explicit about lazy people, and it condemns it. In Proverbs, we read things like, "Poor is he who works with a negligent hand," or "The soul of a lazy person craves and gets nothing," or "The lazy person doesn't plow after autumn, so he begs during the harvest and has nothing," or "The desire of a lazy person puts him to death, for his hands refuse to work." So there are all kind of warnings in Proverbs. We see this continued in the New Testament. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3:10 gives a very sharp address. He says, "For even when we were with you, we would give you this command: if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat." In 1 Timothy, he tells Timothy, he says, "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, especially for the members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." I think we get the point that one who is able to work and does not, the Bible is strongly against that. The lazy mindset does not reflect the character of God. It's not conducive for someone that's made in the image of God to be lazy. Next, we look at overworking or being a workaholic, another thing that sin can get us in. The worship of our work. This response to God's curse on work runs in the opposite direction than laziness. The fact that work is hard and that many people seem to fail, this makes it more attractive for the workaholic. Lusting for pride, engaging their value through ever escalating achievements, how much money they make, they live for their work. You ask them about rest, they say, "That's for wimps." A balanced life, well, more money will compensate for that. At dinner with their family, they can't even focus and bring their attention to their family because they're constantly daydreaming or on their phone thinking about their next money-making deal or business venture. A workaholic slash prideful person's passion usually is not work in the sense of helping people or accomplishing things that glorify God, but on demolishing the competition or feeling the thrill of the next accomplishment. Pride can cause us to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to, right? And also to look down on others and what they do. Martin Luther spoke about this. He said, he talked about how he hated the laity versus clergy division. The idea that the priests and the nuns and the monks were engaged in holier work than the housewives and the farmers. This prideful view appalled him, and he attacked it vigorously. William Tyndale wrote on this. He said, "If we look externally, there is a difference between one who washes dishes and one who preaches the word, right? But as these works pleasing God, there's no difference at all." That's a biblical view of work, that there's no difference when done to the honor of the Lord between preaching and washing dishes, than being an engineer or being a janitor. Every job, every occupation, every legitimate kind of work is a moral calling. We have a spiritual responsibility to honor the Lord and to put his image on display, and it's a beautiful thing when we do so. The Bible also speaks against this worshiper of work or lover of his accomplishments. Ecclesiastes 5 has some things to say about that. It says, verse 10, "He who loves money will not be satisfied with money, nor he who loves wealth with his income. This is also vanity." Verse 12, it says, Sweet is the sleep of a laborer, whether he eats little or much, but the full stomach of the rich will not let him sleep. I think we get the point. One who is able, I'm sorry. In the New Testament picks this up as well. In Matthew 6, Jesus says, "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money." Now, this doesn't condemn being successful, right? But rather speaks against the one who is in love with his riches, and the person, this person will never be satisfied. Paul speaks about this too in 1 Timothy 6 through 10, chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. He says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." So we must be careful that we do not fall into these things. These views of work have been introduced as a result of sin. And in both cases, caring little for our work or caring only for our work, we find that the fall has corrupted something that was meant to be good. Human beings, after all, are designed by God to work. But now, because of sin, work can be looked at as either a duty to be avoided or an idol to be worshipped. Now, this is far removed from God's original design for work. But I want to tell you guys, there's hope for redeeming our work. That leads me to my final point, and that is our work is worship. Our work is meaningful. Our work should glorify God. Ephesians 2:10, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." 1 Corinthians 10:31, "So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Colossians 3:17, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God through him." Colossians 3:23-24, "Whatever you do, work heartily, as for the Lord and not for man, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ." Think about that. When we work as unto the Lord, we are serving the Lord Christ. In everything we do as unto the Lord. Our work should glorify God. The way we work is worship to our God. We must look at it this way. This should change our focus on how we work, knowing what Scripture says. God gave us work so that we can glorify him. And in many ways, we reflect our Creator in the jobs that we do. Think about some of these ways that we reflect God. In God's redemptive work, where he's in his saving and reconciling actions, humans can participate in this kind of work. For example, you have evangelists and pastors and counselors, or you have writers and artists and producers and songwriters and poets who incorporate redemptive elements in their stories and novels and songs and films and performances. God, in his creative work, God gives humans creativity. People in the arts, sculptors, actors, painters, musicians, poets, all display God's creativity as do a wide range of craftspeople, such as weavers and seamstresses and interior designers, carpenters, builders, architects, fashion designers. In God's providential work, where he's providentially sustaining humans in creation, We know that Christ says that in Colossians, he's the one that's holding things all together. Think about this. You who work in public as public policy makers or in government, builders, farmers, firemen, transport workers, IT specialists. I think about I fall in this line in God's providential work, how he works through me. Christ literally is holding all things together, working through me as I deliver services to his people all over the world. You know, we must think about these things in this kind of way, that we're actually doing these things to the glory of God, and he's working his providence through us in God's justice work. People that work as judges and lawyers, police officers, law enforcement personnel, guards, the army, government workers, and God's compassionate work. You have people that how God sends comfort to his people and to creation. You have doctors and nurses, paramedics, psychologists, therapists, social workers. All these people reflect an aspect of God's labor. Also in God's revelatory work, where he enlightens people with truth, you have preachers and scientists, educators, journalists, scholars, writers are all involved in this kind of work. So we must begin to view work this way. So how do we have this mindset when it comes to work? Because we know that sin and the enemy wants to distort our view of being of glorifying God in our work. Well, I believe the answer to how we do this is given to us in Scripture. Paul says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So again, our work that we present to God is a living sacrifice. Everything we do should be. Our work is spiritual worship. The next verse says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what the will of God is, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We cannot let society's view of work come into our minds and distract us of what God has called us to. The society's the way society wants to us to view our work, but rather we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds. This is how we know what is good and acceptable to God. This is how we have a biblical mindset. We must renew our minds through God's transforming power. His word transforms us. Philippians 2:14 through 16 says, do all things without grumbling and disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. The scripture says that we should be working without complaining. Now that's hard, right? Especially on my job. That's a very hard thing, but this is what God has called us to. So that, as this verse tells us, we can be lights in the world. And we do this by holding fast to the word of life. So we can be proud when Christ returns that we did not work in vain. But this seems like a big task for me and you, but we're not alone. We can only do this with God's help. Philippians 2:13, the verse before that, it says, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Well, with all this said about grumbling and our work being spiritual worship, one can probably take all that I said and think that, well, does this mean whatever job I'm on that I have to stay where I'm at? And if I leave it, then I'm not glorifying God. that is it wrong to desire a better job or to voice some legitimate concerns I might have about my work? No, I don't believe this is wrong to do so. I think God gives us the formula for that as well, telling us to pray with thanksgiving first and foremost. Then we let our requests be made known to God, right? And while we wait on the Lord to change our circumstances, we pursue different jobs, waiting for Him to open the door, we remain content and thankful for what He's already given us. I think that's the posture. So in closing, God made each and every one of us to be workers. He called us to this. We know that none of us can work perfectly. These things mentioned, none of us can always knock out the park with these endeavors. But we should strive to honor God in the way we work. We must look to Christ, our perfect example. He was the only one who worked perfectly in this world. Because we have been made righteous only by imputation of His perfect righteousness, we know that us working to honor God does not save us. It earns us nothing. We should work well in light of what Christ has already done for us. We should work well because we want to be like Christ. We should work well because it is our reasonable service. Even though we may feel the difficulty of our work because of the curse, in spite of how we rightly view work, it still can be hard and it can present challenges because of sin. God even says that work will be hard, right? Some may work hard more than others. Whether we have bad employers or because of our own sinful desires. But we know as believers, God had a plan for sin. We know that Christ came to free us from sin. We know that because of Christ, what Christ has done, we no longer have to walk after the flesh, but we can walk after the Spirit with this biblical view of work. Even though sin still is present in this world, I would like to remind you that the good story of Scripture is that God will not leave us in this world where sin still affects our work, but He has a plan for redeeming our work as well. We look forward to when Jesus returns, when He will restore our work. One day as creation continues to groan, Christ will restore all that He intended work to be, without sin. In the beginning, when we get to the new heavens and new earth. Well, that's the end of my lesson. I do have a few questions that I gave Greg to pass out, and I would like us to discuss at our tables. And then we'll do that for a little bit, and then I'll come back up and we'll be dismissed. All right.